see so many people here on not a very nice morning. I had probably the most unpleasant walk back from the football last night that I've ever had, I think, in the snow. But it's good to see. Good to see people here. Good to see children here. We haven't got Sunday school this morning. We will try and be doing some Sunday school next week for children. So just so you're aware of that. We try and do it every couple of weeks. So next week we will do something with Sunday school-wise with children who are here. Can someone remind me towards the end in one of the songs to take the offering, because we were meant to do it earlier and I forgot. And I'll forget again later if no one reminds me. So if you could do that, that would be good. Thank you. Okay, so we have a preaching plan that we've said to our visiting preachers for the new year. What we've said to them for the next few weeks or next couple of months or so is the different people who are coming, we've said to them if they want to pick a parable of Jesus to preach on, then that would be good. So I've sent an email out to all those who are coming over the next few weeks to say if they want to pick a parable of Jesus to preach on, that would be good. But of course they don't have to, they can preach on something else. I'm hoping it doesn't mean we'll get 10 sermons on the prodigal son, but we might do. You never know. But today we're not following that. Today I'm just following something else. As it's the start of the new year, thinking in terms of New Year's resolutions, visions, etc. like that, I just thought I'd speak for a few minutes on that sort of thing, where and things that maybe are relevant to us as a church for this coming year. I just want to read John chapter 13, verses 31 to 38. It's not going to appear on the screen because I forgot to send it to Rob. But John chapter 13, verses 31 to 38. It's a well-known passage. Most people will know it. When he was gone, Jesus said, that's when Judas had gone after he'd gone to betray Jesus. So when Judas had gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him even more. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jews, so I now tell you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Peter replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you really do that for me? Will you really lay down your life for me? Truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. I don't know how many people made New Year's resolutions. I don't think I did. People do, people don't, people keep them, people don't keep them. It's a good time, the New Year, to take stock, to rethink, to look at what's going to happen in the coming years, what plans we've got for the coming years, what things we think we might want to do. And it's not a bad time to do that as a church as well, just to take a few minutes to think, okay, what's God saying to us? And it might be, what God is saying to us can be different for different ones of us. But what is God saying to us for this year ahead? In that reading, Jesus warned them, didn't he, of difficult times ahead. I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. He was going to be leaving them. And they were going to see his crucifixion. They were going to see him die. They wouldn't know what was going to happen. And they would go through tough times. They would go through tough times. Things they wouldn't understand. And what he's saying to them, I think, is almost, and you guys need to stick together. You guys need to stay together. You need to stick together. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. So you must love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus was saying to them that the way to deal with the difficulties you're going to face in the coming days and weeks and months is first and foremost to look after each other. Those who are followers of Jesus, to look after each other. And people would see that and would know that there was something different about these people. How they would react to it, obviously, who knows? And there was good reactions and who has bad reactions. But he's saying to them, the way you deal with this, the difficulties that are coming up, first and foremost, is to love each other. Love each other. And it gets me thinking about what is God saying to us. And I do think God is saying to us that as a church, we must love each other. We must love each other. What's our vision for this year coming up, 2025? Now, our vision statement, actually, I took a photo of it. It's in the shop. I've got to find the photo now. I'm going to read it out anyway, if I can see it. To know God and to make him known is our vision statement. And then it goes on, a worshiping church of people who pray and follow the teaching of the Bible. A witnessing church of people who share our faith in words and actions. If I thought about it, I'd got you to put it up there, wouldn't I? But, early in the new year, Bob, I'm not thinking of these things yet. That's our vision as a church, to know God and to make him known, which is great. How do we do that? How do we do that? It's very easy as a church. Not very easy, that's the wrong thing to say. We sometimes think in terms of vision as strategy and big plans, and those things are good. What big events are we going to do? What changes are we going to make to our structure in the coming year to be able to meet our vision, to be able to know God better and to make him known? But actually, I think sometimes the vision needs to be the small things. How can we care about each other even more? I do think as a church, we've said this a lot over the past months, we do look out for each other, we do care for each other, we do love each other, but we still need to do it more. We still need to do it more. Our vision, love each other. As I have loved you, so you must love each other. The key element is loving each other. Key element is loving each other. I think a writer or a philosopher in about AD 150, a guy called Tertullian, and he spoke about a vision about where people said of the church, see how these Christians love each other. That was the thing that people were looking at the church and saying, see how these Christians love each other. If that can be our vision for the year ahead, how excited would that be if people from outside somehow, and I don't know how, and we'll maybe get onto that in a minute, somehow people look at us as a body of God's people in Woodendean meeting here on a Sunday, a small body, but see somehow in us people who love each other, and care for each other. What an outworking of a vision that would be. We need to have good strategy in place. We need to be listening to God, find out what he's telling us to do as a church, as individuals. We need to be prepared to do the things he wants us to do. But it doesn't necessarily mean to be a big picture vision. It might be. God might say there are things I want you to do. God might say there are things I want you to change. He might say with different things. I know, Sue, where's Sue? You're thinking about things with the shop at the moment, aren't you? God does tell us to do things differently sometimes. But the most important thing, I think, is to love each other and to pray for each other. To love each other and to pray for each other. Our strategic vision for this week coming, how can we be even better in this week at looking after each other? How can we do even better at looking after each other in this coming week? However well we're doing it, however well we did it last week, last year, how can we do it even better next week and the week after that and the week after that? How can we love each other more in the face of sometimes difficult situations? How can we love each other more in the week ahead and the month ahead? As we get that right, I do think God will bless us with people coming to us. God will bless us with the things we want, whether it be more people coming, whatever it is, God will bless us. The other side of that, of course, is if we can't look after each other, if we don't look after each other in the right way, if we don't love each other, why would God send us more people to not love? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would God send people to a place where we don't look after each other well enough? But I do think we do here. I do think we do. I do think God is blessing us. God is trusting us with people. But we still need to think, how can we do it better? How can we love each other more? In practice, how do we do it in practice? How do we love each other more in practice? Well, I think it's actually quite practical. A lot of it is getting to know each other better. There are people here who've been who've known each other for years. Jane was at my 18th birthday party, which is at least 15 years ago, isn't it? Jane's older than me. She was at least 19 then, I think. I won't tell you what she got up to at my birthday party, my 18th birthday party. Well, I might do in secret. I'm not going to preach on it. Not on the tape. But there are people who have known each other a long time, and people who haven't, as well. But getting to know each other better is one way of loving each other. How do we do that? We make time for each other. We chat to each other. I think it's fantastic that people turn up early and chat, and after the services chat. It's one of the really important things I think I've come to believe about being at church isn't just what's said from the front, or the worship, or the prayers. It's the spending time together, enjoying being together. As a church, as a group of people, we need to enjoy being together. And I think we do. I think we do, generally. People sort of turn up quite early. We're up here sort of from about 9:30, 9:45 setting up. But people turn up early and just chat. People stay behind, have a cup of tea and just chat, which is great. That's one of the ways of loving each other. Doing little things. I remember when I became a Christian, I was 17, and I came to what was Downs Free Church at the time, up the road, and for a year or so I went, and it was great, and then for a year or so I never went. I pretty much never went. I stopped going, and I can't really remember too much of the reasons why, if I'm honest. It's so long ago. I can't remember why, but there was a guy, the wonderful John Turner. Some of you will remember John. Every month, there's a magazine. Do you remember Buzz magazine? Yeah. Every month, when I wasn't coming, John would get Buzz magazine for me. He'd knock on my door, and we'd have a chat, and then he'd go away, and that was it. And then I wouldn't see him till the following month. He'd knock on my door. What he was doing, he was just keeping contact with me. And that, you know, consciously, when I think about it, it didn't make any difference. But subconsciously, now I think about it, years later, it did. The fact that he was prepared to come every month, just do that little thing, knock on my door, give me this magazine. Don't think I ever paid him for it. But he did that every month. And probably after about 2 years, I started coming back. Wasn't because John kept knocking on my door every month, but that didn't do any harm. Definitely didn't do any harm. Little things. Texts to people to ask how they were. Text is a wonderful, or WhatsApp is a wonderful tool for just looking after each other, for caring for each other. I love it when, you know, when I get like messages from Steve this morning and that, when people can just contact you. Modern technology has its problems, but it's wonderful as well. It can be used for good things. Little things we can do for each other, just checking up on each other, just asking how we are. I say enjoying being together. One of the most important things as a church, I think, is to enjoy being together, enjoy each other's company. And that can be, you know, on a Sunday, obviously. That can be Thursday fellowship, house groups. It can be at Melancho's, Dave, having a curry. It can be when Sean and I go down to the Duck Inn at Rotterdam and Sean buys me a beer, or other people as well. It can be if we go to the Downs Hotel next week for lunch. It can be when, I know John and Faith are regularly inviting people for lunch at their place. It can be that. It can be if we go for a walk together. Any of those things are ways of just getting to know each other better, enjoying being together, socially, playing badminton. Where's Andrew? Playing badminton, even if he's better than me. We can enjoy, and Rob as well, playing badminton. Rob's better than me as well, I think, from the what we found out last week. But things like that, just doing things together. Enjoy being together. Spend time together. The disciples, I think, spend loads and loads of time together and got to know each other really well. And because of that, they were able to support each other in the difficult times that came later. They were able to. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about not giving up meeting together. And that obviously means Sundays, that means services. I don't think it just means that. I think it means during the week. Find things to do. Don't give up meeting each other. Don't just limit it to just being on a Sunday. Find ways of meeting up in different ways socially. And it also talks in the same passage, Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's verse 22, about spurring each other on to good works. We need to encourage each other. Encourage each other, look after each other, spur each other on to good works. Be nice to each other. I know that sounds a bit bland, but actually, there's a lot to be said for being nice to each other, being nice about each other, being nice about each other, being nice to each other, be nice about each other. Pray for each other. And also, be prepared to be the answer to your own prayers. If we're praying for someone, it might be the answer to that prayer is for you to do something for them. It could be, can be that. Sometimes we pray for people and we think we've done our bit, and sometimes we have. But sometimes God is saying, okay, so what are you going to do about answering that prayer, about looking after that person? Be prepared to pray for each other. Be prepared to be the answer to your own prayers in whatever way that might be. There's a saying, isn't there, that people, you hear it quite often, that we have to love each other, we don't have to like each other. The more I think about that, the more I disagree with it, actually. We do have to like each other. We do have to. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy to like each other. But we have to work at that. We have to be a people who like each other as well as who love each other, if you get the difference between those two things. We do love in actions, but we feel affection for each other. We like each other. We need to work. We need to make sure that we're doing that. Just going to read a few more bits. I'm nearly finished. John chapter 15. I don't know why I put this down. I'm sure there's a reason. Verse 9. There we go. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. We're not likely, any of us, I hope, to be asked to actually physically lay down our life for each other. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's unlikely in our day-to-day lives we're going to be asked to die for each other. But sometimes laying down your life for each other can just be putting yourself out a little bit to go and look after that person. Sometimes that's probably more of what it means to us. Love each other. There is so much that Jesus taught, and also in the Old Testament, about loving each other, caring for each other. There is so much in the Bible that I don't understand. And I've said before up here, the older I get, the longer I'm a Christian, I think there's more and more of it that I don't understand. But the bits that I do understand are also the difficult bits to do, the bits about loving each other and caring for each other. They're not difficult to understand, but they can be really difficult to do sometimes. They can be really difficult to do. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes it's difficult situations. And relationships are difficult, let's be honest. But sometimes we have to get over that. Sometimes God says, just get over it. Deal with it. In the difficult situations, show my love. In the situation there where Jesus was about to go and be crucified, it was going to be a difficult situation. It was going to be a difficult situation. But Jesus is saying, you still need to love each other. You still need to care for each other, even in that difficult situation. The more I read, the more it seems to be Jesus' key message. Love each other. Live out your faith in love for each other, with each other, and for others as well, for others. We've looked at a few times, haven't we, about letting your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Let your light shine before men. So, what is your New Year's resolution for 2025? I'm not saying that because I want you all to say, oh, it's what you said. But let's try and think through. Take time individually to think through, how can we love each other more? How can we meet that command of Jesus where he says, you must love each other? How can we do that more in this week coming, the month's coming, whatever. We need the help of God's Holy Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God to empower us, for want of a better word, by His Holy Spirit. We can't do it alone. We need to listen. We need to ask God to change us in some areas where we need to change. Ask Him to make us a bit more receptive sometimes. Yeah, we talk about hearing God, and is it, how do we hear from God? Sometimes it can just be what you know, pops into your mind. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I wonder how this person is. Well, yeah, maybe that's God saying sometimes, well, just find out how they are. Sometimes we need to make an effort. It's not always easy to show love. It's not always easy to like each other. And the final little bit in that passage that I read at the start, Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, do you truly lay down your life for me? Truly I say to you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. Peter, I think, was genuine when he said that. I don't think he was making out a false bravado. He was genuine. But when it came to it, in that difficult situation where he knew that if he said, while Jesus was being arrested and being tried, if he knew he said he was a follower, then bad things would happen to him. He just couldn't follow through on it. I think Peter gets a bad press sometimes because he was there. The others seem to have run away. But he was there. But he got it wrong. In whatever way it was, he got it wrong. We will get it wrong. We will not always love each other perfectly. Sometimes people will annoy you. Sometimes I might. I don't know why I'm looking at you when I say this, Jane. Sometimes I might annoy you. People will annoy you. People, even in this room, will annoy each other. We need to be able to forgive, like Jesus did with Peter. Sometimes we need to say something. Sometimes we need to say something. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just need to be able to forgive. What are you doing down there? I think he's got something, yeah. Got apple stuck in your teeth, Noah? Sometimes we just need to say, I'm going to forgive that person without saying something. Whatever it is, we need to remember that we're going to get it wrong. And if I get it wrong, and if you get it wrong, just try again. Just try and put it right. Try again. If we do things that aren't loving, do what you need to do, put it right, and just try again. Try harder. I'm going to end by reading that verse from 1 Peter chapter 2 again that I read right at the start of the service. At least I am, if I can find 1 Peter chapter 2. There, 1 Peter chapter 5. This is true whatever we do. Even if we get it wrong, these things are still true. But the fact they're true hopefully spurs us on a little bit to try and get things right. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is us in this room. We are a holy nation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. That's what we are. We need to live it out. We are living it out. We need to just think, how can we live it out even more in our church and in our society, in our communities where we live? I'm going to stop. We're going to sing.